Let's look at salvation from a legal perspective. Because of the choosings that happened in the Garden of Eden, sin entered in. Because of that choosing, Satan held a pseudo-sovereignty over humanity and held mankind for ransom on the principle of government by consent of the governed, which is when we live without Christ, we consent to whatever weakens our reason, impairs the tenderness of our conscience, obscures our sense of God, or takes off our relish of spiritual things. In short, whatever increases the strength and authority of our body over our mind, thereby we are governed by sin. The Supreme Judge of the Supreme Court of Heaven is sworn to uphold the demands of the law in every case. In order for man to be free, by law, an innocent and willing substitute had to be found to take his place who could fully meet the demands of the law and represent both God and man. The only solution was for God to become man, paying the penalty, thereby letting man go free. Because God loved us from the beginning, He saved us from the legal penalty of death due to iniquity, transgression, and sin. We need to understand some of the principles of redemption. Redemption means that one who is capable of redeeming and taking the place of another actually meets the demands of the law and becomes the legal substitute by paying the redemptive price for those who are condemned to death because of breaking the law. God decided that through the atonement and substitution of an innocent victim to take the place of the guilty, kidnapped race, He would free it from Satan, thereby legally and forcefully evicting him, restoring man's dominion so as to carry on the eternal purpose as it was intended from the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Jesus was sent to pay the price for the death penalty man incurred in the garden, thereby breaking the power of the pseudo-sovereignty which Satan had. It has a redemptive work based on the principles of redemption for man, who, being under the penalty of death, was unable to pay. When Satan put to death the sinless, innocent Son of God, the High Court of Heaven canceled all his claims against humanity. The Lamb of God, the righteous Son of Glory, paid the penalty of ransom, thus meeting all the demands of God and the holy law, defeating Satan and his host with his very blood. Now then, we who believe are alive to God in Christ, as Paul wrote in Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. For the reasons stated in Romans 6:14, if we confess our sin and consecrate our lives to God, Satan loses his case in the High Court of Heaven, and man comes away from court with power of attorney by the blood of Jesus, we are made representatives and officers of God's law, and can dispossess and cast out, can heal and strengthen, and do whatsoever the High King of Heaven says for us to do. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, it is our legal, redemptive, blood-bought, divine right to be free and resist the enemies of heaven until the intimidating grip of false authority on mankind is brought down to the ground. The walls of hell will fall all the way to hell. But for those who refuse to believe and turn from their sin, Satan gives to them the sole right and power to suffer. Christ has once and for all hurled Satan from his position of power so that he is a conquered enemy. We don't have to bind what Christ has beaten and bound. The might of Satan, the prince of all diabolical powers, is already broken. Our greatest strength against the enemies of heaven is not to fight against the devil who is exhausted and defeated, but our greatest strength is to come into the likeness of the Son, Jesus, the Christ of God. Jesus has broken the powers of sin so that those who look to God in faith are liberated from the influence of darkness. In our heart posture towards Christ in our hearts and lives, there is no room for sitting on the fence. Every person is either for or against him, whether we realize and acknowledge it or not. The privilege and the seriousness of following Christ are of such tremendous magnitude that there is no room for excuse for compromise with the world or for half-heartedness. By faith, we live every day in the splendid opportunity of being citizens of the kingdom of God. So here is the Lord's Prayer expanded. Holy God, you are the one who is near us in mercy and love, and at the same time you are high exalted above us, for your name is the expression of your being, the name who is sanctified in all creation. Your divine rule come, your divine sovereignty, which more and more fully attains its rightful place in the heart and life of mankind, as in heaven where your will is obeyed spontaneously with perfect joy, in a perfect manner without a shade of unfaithfulness. Lord, we ask for your supernatural aid and blessing in all the fields of our lives where your dominion is perfect and all the real needs of man are replenished, not just for us as individuals on our own merit, but in reliance on the grace of God. We ourselves ask for forgiveness as we absolve and acquit those who are indebted to us, who act wrongly towards us on the full ground of your grace, the sweeping love of God. We concede and admit that we are weak and are conscious of our own weakness, that you would direct our path away from circumstances in which we are exposed to evil temptations, but also celebrate and are glad in you who gives us the victory and causes everything to contribute towards the good of those who love you. Help us that our prayers and life habits would not degenerate into mechanical and ceremonial formality. For you are the glory and power, the perfect friend who reigns forever. Amen. What do you think?